My guest is writer and historian Michael Ignatieff. He's written a book about his aristocratic family called The Russian Album. It's an opportunity for Ignatieff to examine how our family history shapes our personal identity. Ignatieff is descended from Russian counts, princesses, generals, and diplomats. His paternal grandfather, Paul, was the Minister of Education in the last cabinet of Tsar Nicholas II, and his grandmother, Natasha, was a princess. The family fled Russia during the Revolution and eventually settled in Canada, where Michael was born. I asked him to explain how his search began.
When I was about 16, I realized that my grandmother, a woman who died 2 years before I was born, had left memoirs of her childhood on great Russian estates in the 19th century, of meeting my grandfather in Nice on a winter's holiday at the turn of the century, of her life on an estate in the Ukraine before the First World War, of her eyewitness accounts of the 1905 revolution, and then the great deluge of the First World War and the Revolution itself. And these memoirs, which were sort of 350 jumbled pages that she typed out on the backs of recipes and cornflakes boxes and all this kind of stuff, were in a tremendous pile in the attic. And one day, as these things happen, I just began to read, and I had a sense of being entranced by a vanished voice. For many people, that's how the search for a past begins. You hear this voice beyond the grave and you start trying to give them life.
Well, you point out in your book that a lot of people have backgrounds that they don't really want to talk about or to admit to. What kind of backgrounds were you thinking of? Friends who you know maybe who didn't really want to talk about their backgrounds.
I think the most poignant people in a way that I've met are people who have just essentially happy suburban pasts, you know. They're just, what they're ashamed of, they shouldn't be ashamed of, but they're ashamed of the fact that they're just so ordinary, that they don't provide a dramatic story. And I always felt as a child that, you know, exile and expatriation, having lost anything, had its problems. But one of the things that it definitely did have was a certain kind of raffish glamour, and I've certainly benefited from that. I feel that's an enormous privilege.
Have you ever been uncomfortable about your past, though? I don't know what your politics are, but being the descendants of people who helped lead the Tsarist rule might not be the most comfortable thing.
It's a very good question, Terry. I've been very uncomfortable about it in one particular respect, is that the Tsarist tradition is notoriously anti-Semitic, and one of the things that I felt was rather passed over in silence in my immediate relatives' encounter with their past was the anti-Semitism. The fact that my great-grandfather was the author of the special legislation against the Jews in 1881, which many historians regard as the precipitating factor in the huge Jewish migration from Central and Eastern Europe that begins in the 1880s and which brings millions of Eastern European Jews to America. And I felt I had to go in search of that past, the unpleasant past, the vicious past, as well as the happy, sentimental, nostalgic past.
That leads to another question, which is how responsible are you, as anyone, for any evils perpetrated by their ancestors?
Oh, I think you are. I think you're very definitely responsible for the truth. You'd be behaving irresponsibly if you paraded around telling your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren this was a spotless, blameless past, that your great-grandfather was a, you know, loved Jews, respected the Jewish people. He emphatically did not. And I think you are responsible for the truth, however painful, and if you fail that responsibility, what you're doing is you're spreading lies, and history shouldn't be about lies.
You've written that the more you got to know the historical story of your grandfather, the more he was lost to you personally as a grandfather. Would you explain that contradiction?
Yes, I'm not sure I can. It's just a feeling I have that there's a contradiction between what history can tell us about a person and what we want to know about them. The grandfather I want is the smell of his clothes, how he lit his pipe, how he brushed his few remaining hairs off the top of his head when he was irritated, how he read a book, how he sang his Ukrainian songs. You think that by pursuing a person's historical specificity, you get them somehow. All you get is the kind of social shell within which the real person resides. That's what I meant.
Those are strong words coming from a historian.
I know. It's a great surprise to me. I'm a passionate rationalist as well. I'm passionately devoted to the value of history. But I think you have to be very stoic or very clear in your mind about what it is that you can get from the search for the past, the reconstruction of the past. Because what's coming between you and the historical subject you seek is mortality. It's death. You can't cross that gulf. I feel I've kept an obligation to those people. That is, I have been faithful to them, as they, I hope, would wish me to be. But I can't say that I've recreated them in all their vividness. I've tried with all the tricks that one uses, but I still feel that if my grandmother were to pick up my book, she'd read it and close it with a little ironic smile and say, "That was an interesting little fairy story you just told." You see, I don't think I would. I think she would feel the distance between herself, her real self, and the self that I've managed to portray.
Most people who do family research do it to learn something about themselves, in addition to learning about their past. Do you feel like you learned something about yourself in doing this research?
It's hard to say. I'm sure it made me much closer to the Russian side of my nature. It brought me much closer to a certain kind of ineradicable melancholy, which seems to kind of haunt me in a way. I think, obviously, in some other sense, one writes to free oneself of things, to get free of things. I feel now that I know as much as I can know about that part of my past, and it somehow leaves me freer to go on and be, you know, a dad, a writer, a guy making his living in the latter half of the 20th century. I think it's that thing that's wonderful about writing and very unexpected. Writing is a tremendous act of emancipation, and I feel the emancipation from it.
Is there any one story or any one point about your grandparents that you're especially glad you found out about?
It's an interesting question. I'm very struck by things that one would not expect from, you know, white Russian aristocratic people of enormous wealth and privilege, which is not merely that they were courageous, because lots of courage isn't distributed according to wealth and income, but simply that they didn't have regrets. They didn't look back with a kind of haunted nostalgia for the Russian past. What is most extraordinary to me about them, and you see it in their sons, is that they didn't sit there with their bags packed waiting for history to go a different way. Once the revolution had occurred, they adapted very quickly to their fate, and they never complained about their fate. And so the image that a lot of people have of white Russian aristocrats sitting in cafes near the Orthodox Church, only speaking Russian, whining and drinking vodka and complaining about the cruel fate that history has dealt them, is simply untrue in the case of my grandparents. They said to their children, "You're in a new world, you've got to get a technical education, you've got to learn a skill, you've got to learn English, you've got to get on with it." And I find that tremendously admirable in my grandparents.
In that respect, you're very much related to your grandparents, that you too are not overly devoted to the past.
Well, I think you have to do a neat trick. You have to pay the past reverence, and you have to work yourself free of it.
Michael, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Pleasure, Terry.
Michael Ignatieff is the author of The Russian Album, published by Viking. He spoke to us from the NPR Bureau in London.